Good morning. Good to have you with us today. I'm trying something new. I'm wanting to do a live stream when we start up church again on the 4th of October. So I'm playing around with a couple of ways of doing this. So please do comment on the audio quality, the picture quality, the screen, and things like that. I would value those comments. But it's great to have you with us. If you're joining us for the first time, perhaps you are watching this live as I experiment here. It's a really good, it's lovely to have you with us this morning. We're going to carry on in a few minutes with our mini-series, Where is God? And this morning we're going to have a look at the idea of, does God care? Does God care for us? Or has he just left us to our own devices? And so, if you can, let's pray before we come to the Lord. Lord, we do just thank you for today. We pray and ask that you would help us to focus on your word, to listen to you, that we might learn and follow you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, I'd like us to turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, more or less in the middle of your Bibles. And I would love to love you to follow with me. It's not a long psalm, it's only 8 verses. And this is one of the songs of ascent, as the Israelites would sing on their way up to the temple. So Psalm 121. The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Well, friends, as we look at our country today, we realize that things are not going the way they should. Our state president announced this week that we would be moving to level 1 from Monday morning, Sunday night, midnight, today midnight. And the great news is that we are now able to do a few more things. International travel is now allowed again, and so our friends and families who are perhaps trapped overseas are able to come back. But we still have the dilemma that we are in as Christians today. There's the dilemma that we have still got the virus around. The dilemma that we still have the financial difficulties that we are facing. Things are actually getting harder and harder. I heard just this week again of more companies that are laying off staff just because they're no longer able to. Earlier this week we went down to town and a shop that we wanted to buy something at is closed doors. This is becoming the norm. We still have the issues in our country of crime, of violence, of corruption, of mismanagement. We still have our own personal family struggles. Does God really care about us? As we saw last week, that God is not dead. If you missed that talk, do grab it here. It is here on YouTube and you can watch it there. But does God care for us? Perhaps the common answer that people in our community are giving us today is that no, God does not care for us. He's given up on us. He has left us to our own devices. This is the same question, friends, that Nehemiah and his fellow Jews were asking God. In Nehemiah chapter 1, and perhaps you want to turn there, Nehemiah chapter 1, it's before the book of Psalms. You get Psalms, Chronicles, and then Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 1, the Israelites had been taken captive by the Babylonians. It's a similar time period to the life of Daniel. And they'd been taken captive by the Babylonians, and they were now in the provinces of Babylonia. In fact, as Nehemiah begins his book, he's in the city of Susa, which is hundreds of kilometers from where Jerusalem is. And Nehemiah realizes that things are not going horribly well. He has heard news from the few remaining survivors in Jerusalem that the city is in ruins, the walls and the gates have been burned and are broken. And this upset many Jews in exile. They began to question God, does God still care for us as Jews? Psalm 121, I think, is written to remind us that God still cares for us. And as the psalmist begins, he's asking us a question, and maybe you can see it on the screen. It does look rather small, so maybe we'll play around with that. But have a look there. Where are we looking for help? My first comment this morning. Where are we looking for help? Psalm 121, the psalmist starts off with the words, I lift my eyes up to the hill. Where does my help come from? Now, many have taken that to say that, oh, we need to look to God, and that's why we're lifting our eyes to the hills. But I think contextually, and at the time that the psalm was written, at the time of Nehemiah, the time of the Old Testament prophets, when people spoke about looking up to the hills, up to the mountains, they were not referring to God, they were referring to the temples, to the idols, to the shrines that had been built to other gods. The idea was that the higher the temple, the more direct the line was to the divine being that they were supposedly worshipping. So the question is not about looking to the hills to find God, but the idea that the psalmist is asking us is, what are we looking to bring us help, to care for us, that is not God? In fact, the prophet Jeremiah says in chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, he's speaking, and God is speaking, he's saying, return, faithless people, I will cure you of backsliding. Yes, you will come to yes, we will come to you, for you are the Lord our God. And then he says in verse 23 of Jeremiah 3, surely the idolatrous commotion on the hills and the mountains is a deception in the Lord, who is our salvation. Jeremiah refers to those high places, to the hills, to the mountains, as being the wrong place to look for help. Regularly in the Old Testament, there are references to high places, to places on the hills, on the mountains, to places, these places being the places of idol worship. You see, people would lift up their eyes to these hills. They would lift up their eyes to the festivals taking place on these hills, on these high places, to these shrines, and they would plead with their God to help them, to care for them. Now, Now today we don't necessarily have high places around us. But we do have other things that we trust instead of God. Perhaps as we are faced with this pandemic, although we're on to level one lockdown, we are perhaps trusting in our medical staff to come up with a cure for this virus. Apparently South Africa is very much involved in trying to come up with a cure. But are we looking to this cure to bring us the life that we want? Perhaps, and for many people in our country, we're looking to our government to provide the cure for this land. And we're constantly pointing fingers at the government and wishing there was a new government in place. You see, friends, we put our hope in our government, maybe our local government, maybe our national government. We hope that they will bring in a better structure in our country, that they will provide the services that we so desperately require and need, that they will put a stop to violence, that they will bring an end to corruption. Perhaps we look to economic things, economic bailouts for our salvation, for our care. And so we trust in on that UIF payment that just isn't coming. We trust in on the interest rates to either go down or to go up, depending on whether we have money borrowed or invested. We might even, friends, look to our family for help and care. Now, don't get me wrong, friends, none of these things in and of themselves are wrong. But they become wrong when we put our trust in them to bring about the life that we want, rather than putting our trust in God. As the psalmist says here, I lift up my eyes to all these other things to give me salvation, to show that God cares, instead of doing the one thing that I should do. If we put our trust in a cure for this virus, if we put our trust in the economic bailout for the country, if we put our trust in our friends, then we are doomed to failure. Where does my help come from? It does not, friends, come from the things of this world. And the more we look at them, the less we will find God's care for us. So this brings me to the second point here. Where should we look for help? And the psalmist mentions this in verse 2. It's almost as if he's saying, I've looked to the hills. Where's the help coming from? And he goes, no, it's not coming from there. Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalmist says, stop trusting in the things of this world and trust in God. I mean, why would we put our hope in a piece of wood or a piece of gold or in a piece of fine china that's in the shape of some or other god? Why would we put our trust in those things? They are nothing more than wood or gold or china or pottery. In the same vein, friends, why would we put our hope in our government, in healthcare, in financial bailouts, in our family, in our friends, when there is someone who has made it all? Look how the psalmist carries on. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Sure, God has given us amazing abilities. I mean, you just look at what we have designed and developed. I've been watching a show on Netflix on the last days of the Columbia space shuttle. Remember the one that exploded as it was taking off? And some of the technology, even back then in 1985-86, was phenomenal. God has given us the ability to create cures for viruses, to create medical procedures that save our lives. God has ordained government structures to help care for those in their countries. God has given us resources so that we might live in this life. But why do we trust them? None of these things are greater or mightier than the Lord God Himself. The Lord God Himself, who created all things, who created governments, who gave us minds to develop amazing products, who gave us the ability to care for one another. Why trust in other people? Trust in God. Now let me just say here that it is important that we pray for our governments, for the financial struggles of our country, for our health system. But let's not put our trust in them. If we are trusting them, we are not trusting in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now perhaps as you're watching here today or listening to this talk on our website, you're asking yourself, but how can I trust this Creator? Well, friends, God has given us very clear instructions on how we are to put our trust in Him. We can't just come to God any way that we see fit. We have to approach God in the way He has determined for us to approach Him. Now friends, before you throw your hands up in horror and say, how could God tell us how we must come before Him? Think a bit about our own society and the instructions and the regulations that it gives us for how we are to do certain things. So just recently, I had to go through the process of re-licensing my vehicles. I knew that I needed to take proof of residence. I knew that I needed to fill in a particular form. I knew that I needed to have cash with me. Otherwise, I would stand in the queue, I would get to the front, and they would tell me, we can't process your application because you don't have all the right documentation. So in order not to waste more time than I was going to already by standing in the queue, I ensured that I had all the right documentation and more than enough cash to be able to pay for the licenses. I don't always agree with the way the system works. I don't always understand why it costs this much money. Or why I need that. But friends, if I don't have that, I don't get my license. Friends, trusting in God is exactly the same. God has told us this is how we come to God. God has told us you need to admit that you are a sinner. You and I are a sinner. We need to admit that we have broken God's laws. As good as we might think we are, if we have broken one of God's laws, we have broken them all. God says that when we acknowledge our frailty before Him, when we acknowledge that we are sinners before Him, then He will forgive us. Then He will care for us. Then He or we will be able to put our trust in Him. You see, friends, we can throw the cross out and say, really, that's an antiquated, horrible way of torturing and killing someone. But friends, God has told us, this is what you need to do in order to come to Me. And in fact, it's not what I need to do, it's what God has done for me, and we need to accept that. Friends, if we're looking for help, if we're looking for God's care through this time, stop looking at the things of the world and look to our God and Father, the Maker of the heavens and the earth, and trust Him. Admit that you are a sinner and come to Him. So friends, as we stop looking at the hills and the high places and all the other things in this world to save us, and we start looking to God, my third comment this morning, and maybe you can see that on the screen there, is that we look for help with a God who cares. The rest of this psalm, verses 3 through to verse 8, tell us how God cares for those who trust in Him. Throughout these last 6 verses, the psalmist speaks of God watching and keeping us. Just look how many times either the word watch or the word keep comes up. In the original Hebrew, both those words are the same word. For sake of understanding, they've used 2 different words to translate it, but it's the same word in the original Hebrew. And let me just say, dear friends, that the word in Hebrew is Shema. It sounds almost identical to the Hebrew word for hear or listen, which is Shema. I think the psalmist is telling us that when we listen to God, when we hear God, remember God's words to Israel in Deuteronomy 6:4, hear Shema, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. I think that when we hear the word Shema, which is watch or keep, we are meant to understand that when we listen to God's word, when we love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, then He watches us. To put it another way, God takes care of those who listen to Him. So as we read these next few verses, friends, think about how God has spoken to us as we listen and obey Him, and then how He cares for us. Look at the descriptions here of what God does for those who hear Him. Verse 3, He does not let our foot slip. He doesn't sleep. Verse 5, the Lord watches over us, and He's always there with us, like our shadow is. In verse 6 and 7, He says that nothing will harm us at day and at night, and He will keep watch over our life, both now, verse 8, and forever, as we come and go about our daily business. Some amazing descriptions there of God being with us. I mean, I think I used the illustration a few months ago about us when the kids were little and chasing our shadows and playing on and on with our shadows. I'm sure you've also seen little kids as they look down and see their shadow for the first time, how they want to run away from it. Can we run away from our shadows? Well, if we're outside and the sun is shining, absolutely not. And likewise, friends, God is with us. As we run this way, God is there with us. As we go this way, God is there with us. But friends, maybe as you sit and watch this video today, as you listen to this talk, you're saying, but hang on, Dion, these words that the psalmist is speaking are not true. I mean, I slipped and I've fallen. God hasn't let my foot slip. things that harmed me. In fact, just this week we heard news of one of our congregation's family members being brutally attacked. So you might say, how is God protecting us day and night? How is God not allowing harm to befall us? Well, again, friends, I think we need a full understanding of what the Bible has to say. In Luke's Gospel, in Luke 15, verses 7 through to 10, Jesus tells us that there is rejoicing in all heaven when one person turns to the Lord. Friends, for me, that shows that there is great excitement about people coming to the Lord. That this is not just some small task. One of the things that they were saying in this documentary on Columbia on the space shuttle was that the people of America had all but lost faith in the space program. And so they introduced normal citizens to become astronauts, hence the school teacher going up on the shuttle. They lost the excitement, but for God, even one sinner who turns to him, the whole of heaven rejoices. In other words, it is a big thing for God and his people when someone comes to the Lord. In other portions of scripture, friends, we are reminded that we are not to look for our hope in the things of this world, but we are to look for our hope in the reward that is coming to us at the end. The crown of life, as James puts it, which we've been working through with our daily devotions. The crown of life that we get when we face suffering and trial. James is very clear on the fact that life is not always just a nice, fine, smooth sailing journey. But there are often storms in it. There's hills, there's valleys, there's dips, there's even chasms sometimes. Not everything goes the way we want it. But this is where the psalmist is saying, for those who listen to God, for those who seek God out and not the things of this world, not the high places, for them, God will not allow you to fall away from him, from receiving the reward at the end of time. God cares so much for us that he wants us to spend eternity with him. What good is it, friends, if this life is all perfect, fine, and 100% as we want it? And for 70, 80, maybe even you're lucky and you hit 100. For 100 years, everything goes well with your life. And then you die. Then you face eternity, either with God or without him. Friends, God cares for us so much that even in the midst of the struggles of life, he will not let us fall away from him. He will not let us stumble. He will protect us from the attacks of Satan so that we might resist temptation. Friends, surely that is bigger care than just giving us everything in this life now. Perhaps I can illustrate this with a little illustration from life itself. When you were a student, perhaps you still are a student, when you were at school, or perhaps still at school, you might recall that your parents say, hey, work hard, you must work harder. And perhaps they gave us the necessary tools so that we could work harder. Perhaps they provided us with a desk so that we had a good place to study. In today's society, we needed to provide our kids with laptops because they used them.
And so we give them the resources so that they are able to work hard. Why? So that their future might be certain. You see, we might spend 12 years at school, or 4 years, or 5 years at university, so that our future might be secured. Yes, those 12 years at school, those 4 years at uni are really difficult, and yes, we fail sometimes. And sometimes it's hard, but the harder we work, the better our future. And so we plod on. We go, yes, Mom, when she tells us that we need to work hard. We overcome our failures, perhaps rewriting a subject, perhaps taking a different subject. But we do it. It's hard work, and the perseverance pays off. Friends, in the same vein, God is with us now. These 70 to 100 years that we might live in this world are those years that we've been at school. It is the years of preparation for something much bigger and much longer to come. So God says to us, when you follow me, when you trust in me, when you accept the help that he gives, he will not let us fall away from him despite the struggles of this world. Friends, if that does not tell us that God cares for us, then I don't know what will. So friends, where are you looking for care, for help? Are you looking to the hills, to the things of this world? Or are you looking to our maker and creator of this world, to God himself, who is like a shadow with us and will not leave us, who doesn't sleep even when we do, who keeps us and protects us in his care so that we might have eternal life? God cares for us so much that he keeps us safe in him, even through hard things in life. So as you watch this, friends, are you following Jesus or are you trusting the things of this world? Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We do ask and pray now that as we reflect on your word, as it sinks into our hearts and our minds, that you would help us to realize, Lord, that often we do trust the things of this world to help us, where we should be trusting you. Forgive us for that, Lord, and help us, we pray, to follow you, to trust you, knowing that you do not sleep, that you do not slumber, that you keep us from harm, that you watch over whether we're here or there, both now and forevermore. Lord, if there are those watching or listening that do not know you, who have not put their trust in you, work in their hearts and lives, Lord, so that they might, so that their eternity might be secured. And Lord, for those of us that do follow you, us close to you as we face hardships and struggles and difficulties. And we pray this in Jesus' name.